Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many, many, many blessings and excellences of reciting durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in one hadith, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "The closest person to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me." Just think about the words. We all want to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In reality, our success in this world and definitely in the hereafter, our success is only through our connection and closeness with the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this blessed hadith, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us the formula of how to be the closest to him on the day of judgment. Not just close, but the closest to him on the day of judgment. So my dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel, make this intention that from today we will try to recite durood in abundance upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we get time, whenever we're traveling somewhere, whenever we get some time where we have space where we can recite durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make this intention that we're not going to let that time go to waste. We are going to recite as much durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as we can to attain success in this world and in the hereafter. Now collectively, let's once all of us recite durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. It's reported that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalul amali an-niyyatus sadiqah," that the best of deeds is a sincere intention. So my dear brothers, whenever we do any action, we should make it a habit to make a good intention before it. Remember, a sincere intention can lead an individual to paradise. So let's make some good intentions before carrying on with the bayan. We will listen to the speech to gain Islamic knowledge. We will sit in a respectful position with the intention of respecting Islamic knowledge. We will try to act upon whatever we learn. And whatever we learn, we will try to convey it or pass it on to somebody else as well, to others as well. Now, the topic for this week's speech is Ithalis Sawab, conveying reward or passing on reward to somebody else. Inshallahul Kareem, in today's ijtima, we will learn what this term means, Ithalis Sawab, conveying reward to someone. What is it? What does it actually mean when we say this? How do we do it? Where is the evidence from? We will talk about the evidence for this from the Quran and the blessed hadith. We will talk about the blessings of Ithalis Sawab, conveying rewards to other people as well. Now, Malikul Ulama, Allama Zafruddin Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he mentions that there are four ways of doing Ithalis Sawab. There are four ways of conveying reward. Number one, he says to do dua of forgiveness for somebody. Number one, to do dua of forgiveness for somebody. Number two, to do dua of mercy. Number three, to attend the funeral prayer of somebody. And number four, to do dua at that person's grave, to stay at that person's grave and do dua. Now, one of these types of Ithalis Sawab is mentioned directly in the glorious Quran. Allah Almighty states in the 10th verse of Surah Hashr, translation, "And those who come after them say, O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith." I.e. doing dua for forgiveness for somebody else. One type of Ithalis Sawab, which that scholar, great scholar mentioned, is mentioned directly in the glorious Quran. So Ithalis Sawab, conveying reward to somebody else, is mentioned directly in the glorious Quran. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he says, from this verse of the glorious Quran, we learn two lessons. Number one, when an individual makes dua, he shouldn't just make dua for himself. He should make dua for others as well. In that verse, what was mentioned? Forgive us and our brothers who preceded us. So do dua for others when you do dua for yourselves. And let's reflect on just this first point. When we do dua, is our dua only for us, or do we include others as well? Our great scholars are telling us from this verse, we learn that you should do dua for others when you do dua for yourself as well. Now let's just reflect. When we do dua, oh Allah forgive us, or do we do, oh Allah forgive me? Whenever we ask for dua for happiness and blessings, do we do it for ourselves only, or do we do it for others as well? When we're in difficulty, we say, oh Allah, remove my difficulty. Do we do dua for the removal of other people's difficulty as well? From this blessed verse, we are learning that we should do dua for others as well. And inshallahul kareem, with the blessings of doing duas for others, the dua that you do for yourself will be accepted with the blessings of the duas you have done for others. The second point he says we learn from this. He said that during the urs, remembering Islamic scholars, in particular the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt radiallahu ta'ala anhum, doing Fatiha, doing Khatam, doing Niyaz are all permissible and proven from this blessed verse of the glorious Quran. Why? Because when we do these things, when we do the urs of these pious people, when we do Khatam, when we do Niyaz, what ultimately are we doing? We are doing dua for those people. And through their blessings, we are doing dua for ourselves. So Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he says that from this verse, we can learn this as well, that Niyaz, Urs, Khatam, all of these things are also permissible. Now, okay, we've learned that doing Ithal Thawab is permissible, but what's the blessings of doing Ithal Thawab? Let's listen to this one incident. Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam. Imam Muhammad Ghazali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he said, once a woman came to Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and that woman said to him that, my daughter's passed away. My daughter has passed away. Now can you tell me something that will allow me to see my daughter in my dream? My daughter's passed away, I want to see her in my dream. Tell me something, how can I see her in my dream? Then Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he told her how to see, what to do so he could see her in her dream. And then that woman says that she saw her daughter, the daughter who had passed away, in her dream. And the state, how she saw her daughter, what state that daughter was in, she describes that she was wearing, that daughter was wearing clothes of those people who are punished in the hereafter. That daughter had chains around her neck. That daughter had chains around her feet. And then that woman who saw the dream, who saw her daughter in her dream, she came to Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and she described the dream. That you told me how to see my daughter in the dream. I've now seen my daughter in the dream. But I saw her in this state, that she was shackled with chains. She was dressed in the clothing of those who are punished in the hereafter. And then when hearing this, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he became upset and sad. But then he didn't really do anything at that point. And then later on, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he saw a girl in his dream. But in his dream, the girl that he saw was in paradise. The girl that he saw had a crown on her head. And then he was looking at that girl, and the question came. And the daughter, the girl actually questioned him, oh Hassan, do you not recognize me? And then that daughter goes on and says, that girl goes on and says, you know that woman who you told to how to see her daughter who had passed away in her dream? I am that daughter of that woman. And then here, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, like us, would have been thinking that when that woman saw her daughter in the dream, she said that she saw her daughter dressed in the clothing of those who are being punished in the hereafter. She saw her daughter in a state where she had chains around her neck. She had chains on her feet. But now Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is seeing that same daughter, that same girl, but she's not shackled anymore with chains. She's not dressed in that clothing of those who are punished in the hereafter. She is now in paradise with a crown on her head. And then Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he asked her, your mother told me this, but I'm seeing you like this. How did this happen? And then that daughter goes on to say that there was an individual who passed our graveyard. And that individual recited durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once and passed that reward to us. Because of the blessings of the one durood, a durood-e-paak that that person recited and sent the reward to the people of that graveyard, all 550 people who were in their grave attained freedom and forgiveness. Because of one durood-e-paak, and that individual read one durood-e-paak and did ithal-e-sawab, he conveyed the reward to those people in that graveyard. 550 people from that graveyard were forgiven because of the ithal-e-sawab of one durood-e-paak. Now from here we learn a few things. We learn a few things that people are forgiven when we convey reward to them. The blessings of ithal-e-sawab, the blessings of the actions that we do, the actions that people do and then send the reward to those who are passed away, it definitely benefits the people in the hereafter. The other thing we learn, what action did that individual do? He recited one durood-e-paak and sent that reward to those in the grave. On account of that one durood-e-paak, 550 people were forgiven. Imagine the reward of that individual who recited the durood-e-paak himself. Imagine the reward of those individuals who not only recite one durood-e-paak and do ithal-e-thawab, but recite countless durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do ithal-e-thawab. Imagine the reward that they will get. Because of the blessings of one durood-e-paak and doing ithal-e-thawab of that, 550 people are forgiven. Just ponder and think over the blessings the individual who actually does durood-e-paak and does ithal-e-thawab, who actually recites it and recites it in abundance, what blessings that individual will have. Let's make this intention. We will recite durood-e-paak upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance. And that ithawab we gain from that, we will pass it on, convey it to our loved ones who have passed away. We will convey it to the Muslims who have passed away. Now, what actually is ithal-e-thawab? Is it just reciting durood-e-paak, durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and conveying that as reward? Is it just cooking food and feeding people? Is that only ithal-e-thawab? No, my dear brothers. Any good action that you do, any good action that you do, any type of worship that you do, whether it's nafal or fard, whether it's voluntary or obligatory action, and we'll come to proving the obligatory action from the blessed hadith of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shortly as well. But whatever good action that you do, you can send the reward to other Muslims for every single action. It's not limited to one type of good action. Any good action that you do, you can send the reward to any Muslim you like. So make this intention, every good deed that you do, we will send that reward to our loved ones. We will send that to the Muslims around the world. You know, when someone does ithal-e-thawab, he gives or gifts the reward to somebody else. That person who's doing the ithal-e-thawab, who's gifting that reward, there's no decrease in that person's reward for the action that he does. Rather, for every person he does ithal-e-thawab to and for, his deeds are increased by that amount. If somebody sends that ithal-e-thawab to one person, it's multiplied by one. Imagine those individuals who send it to the entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much their reward will increase. Make this intention. Yes, we will send the reward to our loved ones as well. But even those who we don't know, who are from the ummah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make this intention that we will do ithal-e-thawab of our good actions to them as well. And that will be an easy way for us to multiply our own good deeds as well. And remember, they have this saying here, what goes around comes around. If you do not remember anybody now for ithal-e-thawab, what hope do you really have that somebody will remember you when you are in your grave? If you remember others now, when you are in need of it, people will remember you as well. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, you know when we are alive, or our parents are alive, our close friends are alive, we can see them and we know when they're in difficulty. Like if my friend or my father, my mother or my close friends, my relatives, those who are around me, if they're struggling in something, we can recognize that they're struggling because we see them. If they're struggling with something financially, we can see that, we can see them. We can see that difficulty that they're going through. They're going through some sort of illness, we can see that. And in reality, when we see these things as humans, we naturally help those who are around us. We see it everywhere. If somebody's close relatives or friends are struggling, you will go and visit them and console them and try to help them and make it easy. But, my dear brothers, ponder over it. Does that help? Does that way of helping people, caring about people, is that limited only until people pass away? In reality, if we look at it, that's how we behave. When somebody's alive, we would go to them. We would look at them. If they were struggling, we would help them. Even to the point, we might read their janazah. And if they're lucky, we might go to the graveyard. Because you see it sometimes at the janazah, there's more people, and at the graveyard, there's less. But once a person passes away and he is in his grave, we don't know what state that person is in. You know, in this world, you can look at somebody and you know what state they're in. You know if they're okay or if they're struggling. And when they're struggling, you can help them. In the grave, you don't know what a person's situation is. Nobody knows. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us the reality of the grave. Either the grave is a garden from the gardens of paradise, or it is a pit from the pits of hell. But on this side of the grave, we don't know which one it is. Our loved ones, our relatives, our close friends, once they are into that grave, only they really know what that grave is. Is it a garden from the gardens of paradise, or is it a pit from the pits of hell? We don't know on this side. We can go to a graveyard and we will see all the graves on the outside apparently look the same. In the same graveyard, they will all look the same. But one of them might be a garden from the gardens of paradise. Another one might be a pit from the pits of hell. We don't know. And in the same way that in this world, while they were alive, if we knew they were in difficulty, we would go to help them. Now there's a possibility they are in difficulty. We don't know. In the grave, there's a possibility they are in difficulty. Even if they're not, what's the harm of us actually doing ithalis swab for them? Actually doing dua for them. We've seen the blessings of doing dua, of forgiveness for those who are now in their grave, that they are forgiven by the blessings of the duas of those who are alive. So my dear brothers, especially for those who have lost loved ones, for your loved ones, generally for all Muslims, but especially your loved ones, make sure you do dua of forgiveness for them on a regular basis. You know the way when you realize in this world that they're struggling, in the same way realize they might be struggling in the grave as well. The way you would have gone to their house and done dua for them, you would have helped them. You don't need to go anywhere. Sat where you are sat. Just do dua in your heart. Ya Allah, forgive them. If they're going through any difficulty, we do dua for forgiveness for them. I've done this good deed. I send the reward to that person. Put blessings in their grave. Make it a garden from the gardens of paradise. May Allah Almighty allow us to understand the blessings of Isali Thawab and conveying reward to our pious predecessors and our loved ones as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, somebody might be thinking that doing Isali Thawab or conveying reward to others is something which has started recently. My dear brothers, no. This is one of the beautiful sunnahs of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is mentioned that the mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered a horned ram that walks in darkness, sits in darkness, and sees in darkness, meaning that his feet are dark, his belly is dark, and his eyes are dark. Bring that type of ram. And then when this ram was presented in the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for sacrifice, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Aisha, bring me a knife and sharpen that knife on a stone." Then when this was brought, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made that ram lie down and he sacrificed that lamb. And then listen to the words which the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said next. After sacrificing that animal, he said, "O Allah Almighty, accept it on behalf of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his offspring and his ummah." And his ummah, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did ithal thawab, sent reward to his entire ummah. This is the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to not do ithal thawab just to one person. Somebody might be looking for evidence for one person. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us an evidence and a practice to do ithal thawab to the entire ummah. Now, in another narration, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned regarding his blessed habit that he would often talk about the mother of the believer, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he would often talk about her. And sometimes he would slaughter a goat for her. He would slaughter a goat for her. Then that meat, he would cut it up and gift it to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, here he says that this action of sacrificing an animal for Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, it wasn't an action which the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did once. He mentioned this is an action the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did multiple times in his blessed life. And then he goes on to say, there's a few lessons we learn from this narration. Number one, earlier on we mentioned that it's not just nafal acts which you can do ithal iswab for. It's obligatory acts as well. From this, he mentions that you can prove and it's proven that you can do ithal iswab of qurbani as well. Then he goes on to say, to convey reward to other people, to convey reward to the ummah, to our loved ones and family members, is not just something which is permissible. It's not something which is just permissible. It is actually a sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then number three, he mentions, as ithal iswab, when you give food, it is better to give that food which is attributed to that deceased person, that person who has passed away, who you are doing ithal iswab for, is better to do the food which is attributed to them as well. May Allah Almighty allow us to follow in this beautiful sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the blessed companions, they also followed in this blessed sunnah. They were first in following every sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they followed in this blessed sunnah as well. It's mentioned Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has narrated, the noble companions would feed people on behalf of the deceased for 7 days. They would feed people on behalf of the deceased for 7 days. And then when the mother of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when she passed away, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked, O Messenger of Allah, my mother has passed away. If I give something on charity, if I give something in charity on her behalf, will it benefit her? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, yes. He asked, if I give charity on her behalf, i.e. if I do a good action and do a salih swab to her, will it benefit her? And the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, yes. Then Sayyiduna Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he declared, then making you a witness, I say I give my garden in charity on her behalf. And then in another narration, Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, the mother of Sa'ad has passed away. I would like to give something in charity in order to convey reward to her. Which charity is best? So now in this narration, he's asking the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to convey reward to her. Which charity should I do to convey reward to her? Which is the best charity to do? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, water. At that time, there was a need for water. They were struggling for water. So at that time, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, give water as charity for your mother. Then Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a well dug. And then he said, this well is for Sa'ad's mother. He dug a well so people could use it for water. And then he did ithal iswab of whoever will use that water for that well for his blessed mother. Now this is a lesson for us. You know, throughout the world, even today, we have it easy. We turn on a tap and water comes out. There are people around the world who are still struggling for clean water. There are Muslims around the world who do not know where they're going to get clean water from. They are struggling to have water to drink. Acting upon this blessed action of this blessed companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, make this intention, if it's possible, for your own loved ones, for your own deceased, if your parents have passed away, if your children have passed away, if your siblings have passed away, make this intention to get water well dug for somebody. Get access to water. And FGRF, a department of Dawat Islami, is providing this service, that where Muslims are in need of water, they are providing the service that they will get that water for them. And you can be part of this. You can do this through this department of Dawat Islami and do the Isal Thawab for your parents as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, somebody might be thinking, okay, we want to do ithal iswab, we want to convey reward to somebody. We want to do actions, we want to convey reward to others. But we don't know how. We don't know how. With a lot of actions we need to do in this day and age, because we've not studied that much, we don't know how to do those actions. But alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is serving the Ummah in so many different ways. And even in this way, they have served the Ummah by giving them a booklet, a tiny booklet, which explains to people in simple terms how to do Ithal Iswab. There's this booklet of Amir Ahli Sunnat called The Method of Fatiha. Method of Fatiha. And this booklet, you can download it for free from the website of Dawat-e-Islami. It'll take you about 10 minutes to read. But once you read it, you'll understand how to do Ithal Iswab. You will understand, ultimately, how to benefit your loved ones who have passed away. If we don't know how to do Ithal Iswab, when our parents pass away, how are we going to really benefit them? If our siblings pass away, who we love, but we don't know how to do Ithal Iswab, we don't know how to convey reward to them, what benefit are we to them? In reality, Ithal Iswab is a gift for those who are in their grave. Ithal Iswab, passing reward to individuals, is a gift for those who have passed away. Think about it in this world. When you love someone, you have your family members, you have your friends. Generally, you give gifts to each other. Friends will give gifts to each other. Mothers will give gifts to their children. Fathers will give gifts to their children. Children will give it to their parents. Siblings will give it to each other. But again, is that only limited to this world? Are we ever given a gift to our children for the hereafter? Are we ever given a gift to our parents for the hereafter? Especially for those of us who our parents have passed away. Since they've passed away, have we given them any gift? Or is it, we read their janazah, we sat there for 3 or 4 days, then once a week, maybe if they're lucky on Jummah, we go there. If not, maybe on the Eid days, we go to their graves, or we do Ithal Iswab for them. Is that all that's left as a gift for our loved ones who have passed away? Remember, the way we used to give gifts to them while they were alive, we should give gifts to them in the hereafter as well. And doing Ithal Iswab, doing dua of forgiveness for them especially, has been described as a gift for those who have passed away.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Is mentioned, Sayyiduna Bashar bin Ghalib rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says that I used to make lots of dua for Sayyidatuna Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha. He says he used to do lots of dua of forgiveness for her. And then one night he had a dream in which he saw her in his dream. And she said to him, O Bashar, your gifts are conveyed to me after being covered with silken handkerchiefs in trays of light. He's doing dua of forgiveness for her. She's coming in his dream and telling him that that dua is presented to me as a gift in trays of light. My dear brothers, she carries on. When the living make dua for the dead, their duas are put in trays of light after being accepted. Then after being covered with silken handkerchiefs, they are presented to the deceased for whom the dua has been made. And it is said, so-and-so has given you this gift. It is said, so-and-so has given you this gift. Now, if our loved ones have passed away, our mother or father has passed away, our children have passed away, our siblings have passed away, our close friends have passed away, how happy will they make them when we do dua for them? That a tray of light, a gift is given to them, and it is said, so-and-so has given it to you. It says, so-and-so has given it to you. How happy will that mother be when that son, his name is mentioned to her, that so-and-so, i.e. your son, has given you this gift. How happy will that father who is in the grave be that he said that so-and-so, your son, i.e. your son, has given you this gift. How happy will our pious predecessors, the awliya, be with us when they are given gifts from us and he said, so-and-so has given you this gift. Will they not be happy with us? Of course they will. To attain the happiness of those who have passed away, to benefit them and benefit ourselves, make this intention that we will always do Ithal Iswab for them. Now, coming towards the end of the bayan, I want to mention one more action especially, which once in a lifetime at least, we should all make the intention to do it. It's mentioned that Allama Ali Al-Qari, he narrates that a Shaykh Al-Akbar, Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, he went somewhere to have a meal. And when he went there, there was a young man sat there. And it's famous, well, it was famous about this young man, that from the blessings of Allah Almighty, he was bestowed with this thing that he could see the graves. He could see inside graves. He knew what was happening inside graves. He could see what was happening inside paradise and hell. And Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he saw this individual, and while he was eating, this young man, all of a sudden he started to cry. All of a sudden, he started to cry. And then the Shaykh asked him that, why are you crying? What's made you cry? Then he says, I've seen my mother, she's burning in the fire of hell. He had that vision that he was bestowed by Allah Almighty that he could see. He says, that's why I'm crying, that my mother is burning in the fire of hell. Now Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he doesn't say anything at this point. But at this point, he's already recited 70,000 times the kalima. Kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah. He's already recited this in his heart without telling the individual. He does isali sawab of this 70,000 times kalima to the mother of that individual. Without telling him, he does this in his heart. Then the next second, he sees that that young man is now smiling. The young man who was crying a minute ago, now he's smiling. And that young man says, now I see my mother is in paradise. I see her in paradise. Within a second, because of this one act. And remember, this act doesn't come from anywhere. This act comes from a blessed hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, undoubtedly, whoever recites La ilaha illallah 70,000 times, Allah Almighty will forgive the one who is reciting, and He will also forgive the one for whom He is reciting. I.e., whoever he does isali sawab of that 70,000 kalimas, that person will be forgiven as well. Now, my dear brothers, is it not something that we should do at least once in our life? It's an easy ask. It's an easy way of worship. It's an easy way of attaining forgiveness to recite the kalima 70,000 times. La ilaha illallah. 70,000 times. It doesn't need to be done in one sitting. You can do it whenever you want. But 70,000 times. And then whoever you send that reward to, along with you, they will also be forgiven. Now, when our mothers, our fathers, our loved ones pass away, is this such a big ask? To recite 70,000 times La ilaha illallah for them and convey it as reward. It's not difficult. And if you think about it, let's go practical in today's day and age. After somebody passes away, for 3 days, generally we sit and we wait for people to come and do condolences. We go and meet people like that. We go and offer our condolences that this person's passed away. Generally when we go, it's just as a formality to tick the box. We just go to show our face, yes, we came. Even the ones who are there, unless it's that person's mother, that son or daughter will be upset, they will be struggling. The father, if it's their children, or the mother, if it's their child who's passed away, they'll be struggling. But the others who come, they're just there, in reality, to show their face. And when we see it, when we go, we'll see it, we'll all see it. That in those places where we should be reciting something and doing isali sawab, what are we doing? We're talking about politics. We're talking about sports. We're having a catch-up with our cousins and friends who have come. We're doing nothing of benefit for ourselves or our loved ones. In those few days that we are there, especially when it's our closest loved ones, in those few days, can we not recite La ilaha illallah for them 70,000 times? How long will it really take? La ilaha illallah. Doesn't take long. 70,000 of them will not take you long. If we give up that wasting time at those places where we offer condolences for those who have passed away, for our loved ones, at least we can attain this, that we recite it for them, we send the reward to them, we will be forgiven and they will be forgiven as well. My dear brothers, make this intention at least once in your life. Do this act of reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, 70,000 times and sending the reward to your loved ones. May Allah Almighty allow us to follow in the footsteps of our pious predecessors. Now, just finishing the speech, I want to talk or address myself and parents in particular here. or those who have young children, or they have nephews or people who are, look up to them and we listen to them, who they can nurture. If we do not do Isale Sawab in front of our young children, if we do not make them aware of this action, they will never learn it. If we only prioritize our worldly education and worldly affairs for them, i.e. we only teach them, go school, get good grades, go college, go university, get a good job, start a good business, and our only focus in front of our children for ourselves is this, and we only encourage them towards this, then when are they going to learn to do Isale Sawab? Now, when they are young, that is your chance to encourage them and show them to do Isale Sawab. And whose loss will it be if you don't show them? It will be your loss. Because if you don't show them how to do Isale Sawab, you don't do it in front of them, then when you pass away, and remember, passing away, dying is a reality of life. There might be some things which some religions disagree with others. People of no religion may disagree with something, but every single person, no matter what religion or of no religion, they agree that death is a reality and death will come. So if we do not show our children how to do Isale Sawab, that we don't do it in front of them, how will they know to do it for us? When we go in our graves, our dark and lonely graves, remember those graves which are either a garden from the garden of paradise or a pit from the pits of hell. When we go into that grave, we don't know what it's going to be, will we not need the du'as of our children? Will we not need the du'as of our loved ones? Will we not need their Isale Sawab? If we think we don't, we need to get a reality check. And if we think we do, but we're not doing it in front of them, we're not showing them how to do it, how are we expecting them to do it when we pass away? My dear brothers, make this habit of doing Isale Sawab for your loved ones and do it in front of your children so they can see that this is how you do it and it is something that we are supposed to do. Then inshallah, when you do it and they see you do it, it will be returned to you when you pass away. Your children will remember you and do Isale Sawab. If you don't do it in front of them and you only talk about worldly matters in front of them, you only emphasize that in front of them, then when you pass away, they will only be worried about worldly matters. They will be worried, when's the janazah and burial going to happen so I can get back to work, so I can go back to my business? When's the inheritance going to be sorted out so I can have that wealth which he left behind? What do we want when we pass away? Do we want our children to just want to go back to work after burying us and then carry on and don't come back to us? Or do we want them to do dua for us and do Isale Sawab for us? The choice is ours, and the choice is now. When your children are young, this is the time to teach them. This is the time to nurture them that this is what the Muslims do. We do Isale Sawab for those of our loved ones who have passed away. May Allah Almighty allow us to follow in the beautiful footsteps of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and allow us to do good actions and do Isale Sawab of those good actions as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
May you keep ascending success still. O Muballigh, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success still.